You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hoping you'll get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done. Because you're going to get it done. Right on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. And click on that, then there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. And so also, too, you can go to the shortcut. You can use the shortcut, whatever search engine that you might want to use, Firefox, Google, whatever. Put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net, and then once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Thursday nights from 8 to 10. Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. This evening at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, family, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Baruti. Yes, that's right, brothers and sisters. Baba Baruti will be on, will be my guest. Baba Baruti will be my guest on the program on Monday. And look forward to it. Excuse me, family. I'm back. that's right. Baba Baruti will be my guest on Monday. Can't wait for it. Appreciate him. Want to give great thanks to my guest on Wednesday, Ayu Kamathi, the irritated genie. Man, I tell you. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today, the psychology of the European Jews and European Gentiles and European Jews. So we're going to deal with that and some other stuff. And I'm going to go over some past ones we missed. Pretty much we've hit all of them, of the Inyasasims of Daily Revolutionary Thought. But we didn't get the ones when I didn't broadcast this past Sunday and Monday. So we got Tuesday and Wednesday, but we didn't get Sunday and Monday. So we're going to go over them. And then, of course, the three that we do on Friday. So here we go, family. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 6th. Fearlessness requires total trust in your creator, Jacqueline Harris. It should go without saying that consistently being diligent, generous, concerned, humble, communally individualistic, dependable, honest, other admiring, clear-sighted, are historically grounded, loyal, complementarity, committed, combative, creativity, weaponized, optimistic, and visionary are all qualities becoming of our warriors. In Urugu's insanity, this speaks to a spirit and mentality of creative, visionary fearlessness. These are all qualities which require one to stand where and in ways others dare not. Obviously, at the same time, there are oppositional qualities to these, correspondingly listed consistently being lazy, selfish, inconsiderate, arrogant, extremely individualistic, unreliable, a liar, jealous, menticidal, ahistorical, treasonous, complementarity, immature, disingenuous, defenseless, pessimistic, and myopic are qualities unbecoming of our warriors. These qualities are readily exhibited by Africans broken by Urugu's reality. They speak to lies abiding in a consistent state of trepidation, frozen in the white light of Urugu's xenophobic hatred of all that is greater than them. Affirm, I am fearless. Affirm, I am fearless. October 7th. Water changes its nature state only through addition of a foreign body. Water changes its natural state only through the addition of a foreign body. Brother Amadou. The sexual perversions that are pushing on this world are damaging to everyone except them, because this is they. This is who they are. As we'll see. That's kind of deep that, you know, when I read the Inyasa Sim, it hits on the programs or the topics I'm going to discuss. Man, I tell you. In fact, the only way that sexual behavior can be meaningfully framed within Urugu's consciousness is at perversion. And the only way that it can practice within that dehumanized logic is against others. The politics of perversion dehumanizes sex. Sex cannot be made spiritual within despiritualized minds. For those in doubt, an example by questions would be, how much lower can we go in following, promoting, glorifying, celebrating, pressuring others among us, joking about acts of others' insanity, then to eat the vilest, most unsanitary waste the body can expel, voluntarily assuming feces in whatever amount and form, is the surest evidence of the spiritually broken, culturally disconnected, socially vanquished people. And those who know Urugu's, thy sexual history, know that it will not stop there. The humanization of which is called sexual behavior continues to ever in every area of misguided participation. Daily, the line between sex and violence is becoming more and more blurred for the followers of Urugu, as it has always been for all of them in one way or another. Until we understand historically just how sexual focused Urugu is, and how sex is inexplicably tied to violence and domination for them, we cannot even possibly begin to imagine what they have done to themselves and intend to do with even greater zeal and mastery to us. Wake up, family. Affirm, I remain pure. Affirm, I remain pure. October 10th. Every artist, every scientist must decide now where he stands. He has no alternative.
There is no standing above the conflict on Olympic heights. There are no impartial observers. The challenge must be taken up. The artist must take sides. He must elect to fight for freedom or be a slave. Paul Robeson. Wars are grossly overworked. Undoubtedly, there is a choice, but often others do not recognize the nature and magnitude of the sacrifice involved in individually carrying the weight of thousands of us who could be warriors on their backs in what should be a collective effort to liberate, empower, and make African people as a people sovereign. Given that we have no friends, I repeat, we have no friends. By themselves, warriors are fighting against a world, and in addition, within that world, an army of men and women who look like us, but who are in service to this world, to Urugu. Many of that enemy army of us are unable to grasp that African warriorhood is Urugu's insanity entails, because they do not appreciate their complicity, and they are too busy creating escapist fantasies about not being at war. So because of this altruistic generosity and heartfelt drive to solve the problems of African people in a real engaged terms, they see serious warriors as mentally and politically lost, weak and gullible. And in the rich tradition of manipulation and exploitation embedded deep in the very fabric of this moral and ethical cultural wasteland, they take great pride in passing on what should be their frontline responsibilities to real warriors. Within sane minds, it is not difficult to comprehend how and why burdens easily get shifted over to real warriors due to laziness, incompetence, selfishness, and arrogance of how many cowards who look like them. Affirm, regardless of consequences, I take the righteous side. Affirm, regardless of consciousness, I take the righteous side. October 11th. Losers and winners choose to be who they are. Train yourself to recognize when you are acting like a winner or loser. Identify the losing traits you possess and slowly begin to eliminate them. The choice is yours to make. Baba Tayemba. Warriors have an unqualified, absolute commitment to the liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty of African people. And they ever remain uncompromised and incorruptible by enemies within our community and those behind enemy lines. Warriors seek guidance from our ancestors only in the vision they have bestowed on us by virtue of their phenomenal greatness. Therein lies their power. They know they are righteous. They know we are winning. They see through the weaknesses of other people's power. They do not side with them in order to make our destruction easier to bear. They are committed to their removal from the power of our commitment, ascension into liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty. And the only way that they will be able to achieve this through the process of identifying and removing those traits which make them less than their potential. This process of elimination requires that they consistently work toward removing all of the fears, all of the questions, tendencies toward hesitation and laziness, which will keep them from being uncompromisingly African. Will, determination, singularly focused on achievement, is the primal quality of unconquerable, victorious warriors. Imagine who we could be if, like them, we simply choose to be African and act accordingly. We would be well on the path of eliminating our faults and revealing Urugu's fears. Affirm, I choose to win. Affirm, I choose to win. October 12th, my daughter's birthday. America's favorite pastime is European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, America's favorite pastime. Rise, crass. Although Urugu Project whiteness has their most enviable quality, Urugu's project is whiteness. Their concern is not so much with appearances as with survival. They are quite aware of their recessiveness. That's right. Our genes are dominant. Their genes are recessive. Their delusions of supremacy dictate that what is always of preeminent importance to them is that they're disingenuous, root-minded, they're twisted, dehumanization. The preeminent importance to them that is disingenuous-minded, their twisted dehumanization, interpretation of reality, their mechanical science, their immorality and uprightness, ethicalness, their brutal, despiritualized worldview continues and imperialistically expands its dominance through time until there is nothing but them. They've erased everybody else off the planet. More than and only then can they become normal and the only norm. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, allows Urugu to be any kind of crazy they choose and still feel protected from and adorned by everyone else. Their greatest desire is that their despiritualized spirit lives as the dominant force on this planet and as far as they can extend themselves into the universe forever. Their fear of death, exposure, and realization of their inferiority is just that great. Affirm, I am not a pawn in Urugu's aspirations. Affirm, I am not a pawn in Urugu's aspirations. Baba Baruti will be with us on Monday, and the Inyasa Sim for Monday, Sunday, October 14th is George Jackson. October 13th is Frankie Beverly and Mays. All right. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Oh, family. Had to get those in, you know? I really appreciate Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie. He sent me a piece that we were talking about, and I guess he got it from the brother who was working with the Haitians in Haiti and in the Dominican Republic, showed me a piece where the brothers and the Haitian brothers and the Haitian brothers particularly are being sexually abused by Dominican guards. Wow. Sex. It's crazy. It is crazy, family. This is an insane world. An ugly world. His second book, The Psychology of the Jew. Now, of course, you know I use some different terminology. I use different terminologies at times, and I'll continue to do so. There's some things in this reading here that I'll point out and make mention of. So we'll hopefully be able to get through this. Hopefully I'll get some questions and answers. So let's get going. Let's get started. European Jew psychology, dissecting the mind of the psychopath. Remember the psychopath, yeah. You know, Bobby Wright's book, The Psychopathic Racial Personality. Please, brothers and sisters, if you can get to the bookstore and get that book, that one piece that he has there, but there are others, Menticide. How our children are being attacked. The a small book, but it's powerful. The Psychopathic Racial Personality. These people are psychopaths. No doubt about it. They're very psychopathic in nature in terms of how they deal and what they do. To be clear, European Jews is a psychopath. The reason this is not taught in mental health fields is because European Jews control academia and the discipline of psychology. They control it. Fortunately, European Jews don't control the independent research, critical thinking, discernment, nor social architecture. What is a psychopath? The standard dictionary definition is a person with a personality disorder indicated by a patterns of lying, cunning, manipulating, glibness, exploiting, hedonism, arrogance, delusions of grandeur, sexual promiscuity, low self-control, disregard for morality, lack of acceptance of responsibility, callousness, who often demonstrate a complete lack of guilt, empathy, and or remorse. Such individuals are often especially prone to violent criminal offenses. This definition is pretty self-explanatory, but only provides a general summary of the psychopath's behavior. We will provide a historically groundbreaking assessment of the psychopath's personality that gives deep insight into their depravity. We will identify that particular behaviors that build the psychopath personality and show the relationship to world phenomenon. Then we will explain why the definition fits the international or the European Jew better than any single individual or group in world history. Let me read that again. Then we will explain why the definition fits the European Jew better than any single individual or group in world history. Psychopathology consists of a group of behaviors or systems of behaviors identified by society for centuries. However, we've never grouped, organized, or classified them into a measurable, comprehensive, and discernible system of predictable actions for us to examine. First, we will learn the order of the series of behaviors that produced the psychopathology, the personalities, from their foundation through the most extreme expressions. The first stage, stage one, misogyny. Hatred, mistrust, disdain, consistent abuse, and or venom towards women as a class. Misogyny is the foundation of European Jewish psychology. It sits at the base of their entire media construct. And if you can understand, if you remember Sigmund Freud or Sigmund Freud, and you know, in the psychopathology he exhibited, and so you can understand this. It sits at the base of their entire media construct, from pornography to horror movies. Women are depicted as tools for sexual exploitation, discretion, violation, releasing physical aggression, and even murder. Jews are in control of pornography industry and the worldwide media infrastructure. Let me repeat. European Jews are in control of the pornography industry and the worldwide media infrastructure. Look it up for yourself. The basic psychology that runs throughout pornography is a group of males sexually engaging with women or women on film for the entertainment of an audience. By depicting women in this manner, all masculine instincts protect women are murdered. Women lose their innocence and femininity and become perceived tools for sexual gratification. Here, happiness, self-respect, dignity, and womanhood are shattered in the male mind. She becomes a savage, raped for exploitation in the minds of all who view, even women. Pornography counters every aspect and desire a man wishes for his mother, sister, or daughter. It breeds a clandestine lack of respect and ultimately hatred for women. By normalizing pornography and making it part of the American media diet, European Jews have managed to implement the fertile seeds of misogyny throughout the entire society. Men and women alike have lost the basic respect for women through watching pornography. Pornography is the antithesis of the word mother. What is more accepted than pornography, but perhaps more psychologically troubling, are horror movies. This genre generally focuses on a male monster murderer of some kind who often assaults helpless, defenseless, half-naked women. Norman Bates, Michael Myers, Jason, Freddy Krueger, Candyman, Scream villains, etc. All are murder-driven psychopaths who enjoys hunting, terrorizing, and killing vulnerable women. The deep thing about those plots is that, generally speaking, the women are innocent. The plots are not based on vengeance for any offense. These male psychopaths are unemotionally attached to the senseless, brutal murder of women. They murder men as well, but their primary targets are white, defenseless, half-naked European, half-naked women. It's almost as if the murderer already has a hatred for women before he even saw them. Subconsciously, this sentiment must come from the creators of the productions, as they are not real living creatures. The monsters in films are fictitious, but the psychology that produced them is very real. Frankenstein's monster was the green zombie creature in the film. Dr. Frankenstein was the psychopath who created the monster. The zombies were merely a living manifestation of his pathology. The European Jew is the true Dr. Frankenstein of planet Earth. The monsters in horror films traveling the earth seeking helpless victims to torture and murder are likewise reflections of the mind of the European psychology, European Jewish psychology, out of which they were born. Even when the creator is not a European Jew, the psychology of the horror in the context of motion pictures is an overt expression of fundamental and foundational European Jewish psychological characteristics, which is misogyny. Psychologist Sigmund Freud theorized there were two primary instincts that drive people's actions that are consistently at war with one another. The one thing, the number one, life instinct called libido. Number two, death instinct called thanatos. Simply stated, Freud believed people are driven by sex and aggression. Sex leads to procreation, and aggression leads to murder. This is an oversimplification of what he taught, but captures the essence of his philosophy. As an African who knows our history and culture, I always found Freud to be sexually perverted lunatic. He's a deviant. I had a difficult time in school accepting anything other than his discussion on the ego. Everything else seemed depraved and perverted and weird. I certainly never believed any of it to be true, because the notion of a death drive is so diametrically opposed to the nature of Africa. Shay, right on, brother. Right on, brother. Because the notion of a death drive is so diametrically opposed to the nature of African personality, I rejected it without proper consideration. However, having studied the psychopathology of racism and white supremacy for years, the European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, I realized my ego was in the way of my learning. Freud was a European Jew discussing the mentality of European people whom he was most familiar and other European Jews. I misjudged him. He was not an isolated sicko. He was unknowingly and unintentionally exposing his understanding of the pathology of European Jews. When we examine the perversion in the Babylonian Talmud, we find the two primary ingredients being sex and aggression. We will only mention in passing here Freud's pedophilic and tragic theories of penis envy and the Oedipus Rex complex. At this point, it's sufficient to say that European Jewish psychology is based on the natural byproducts of mental decline that accompany rooted misogyny. Stage two, rape. The violation of using force, threats, or other established power such as age to compel a person to submit to sexual intercourse against their will or desire or understanding. After the mind is based in misogyny, the next phase of pathology is rape. Sexual assault is arguably the ultimate expression of hatred and worst crimes that can be committed against a woman. It makes them lose their sense of control and creates a deep emotional damage that can be lifelong. Under these circumstances, a woman's mind is forced to view sex differently than women who never experience sexual abuse. Rape tends to leave the lasting distaste in the mind of a female toward the gender of the rapist, usually a male. Pornography is actually the normalization of rape. It creates imaginary scenarios that drive a woman to defile herself with multiple men at the same time. Women are depicted in enjoying these raunchy experiences as occupational. She's a porn star. They clearly know they're being filmed. The viewer witnesses behavior with such no men wants his mother, wife, or nor daughter to be participating in. We subconsciously know that something traumatic is happening in the woman's life that she has to, you know, bow so low. So it's low self-esteem and self-value to willingly participate in this behavior on film. Most often she was sexually abused as a child and has resulting low self and low sense of self-worth. Pornography allows the creator to profit from the sexual violation of America's female population. It's the reenactment of sexual trauma via recruitment of victims, presented as adult cinema. In fact, pornography is choreographed rape, distributed widely for the mental and psychological ingestions of the world population. Rapists experience a sense of power similar to murderers, hence sexual violation, exploitation resulting in some form of rape almost always accompanies the background of psychopaths. It is this phase where the desire to wield power in a way that controls the fate of others becomes part of the personality of psychopathology. Sex and aggression merge in the mind of the psychopath during this stage of devaluation. Sex is aggression and aggression is sex. Where other people view sex as a pleasant form of communication between consenting men and women, the psychopath views sex aggression as entertainment or a means for their personal enjoyment. The two concepts of sex and aggression become almost indistinguishable at this point. Sex aggression becomes the ultimate demonstration of power and control over other people when expressed through rape. Hence, it is fair to say that rape is core to the personality of psychopathology. Stage three, homosexuality. A sexual perversion where a member of one gender intentionally, knowingly, and willfully participate in sexual activity with a member of the same gender. When misogyny becomes the foundation of man's thinking, he mistreats women. When misogyny becomes the foundation of a woman's thinking, she mistreats herself and other females. The pathology of homosexuality is an outgrowth of the conceptual merging of misogyny and rape. Misogyny starts with men mistreating women. This mistreatment spreads to violations. Homosexuality spawns from efforts to reconcile hating women while relying on them for sexual gratification and reproduction. Until recent MRA technology, women were absolutely necessary for reproductive health. But psychopaths discovered long ago that women weren't absolutely needed for sexual gratification. And he could indulge in perverse sexual activity with men, participate in aggression and violation, and receive sexual gratification and not be concerned about producing more mouths to feed. Now, I'm going to take a pause on this piece right here to interject this. I mentioned this, quite a few years ago. But you can, a man, let me repeat, a man can have a child through artificial womb device. An artificial womb device allows the development of a human outside of a uterus in a completely artificial environment. The process is called ectogenesis. Now, you can go to YouTube or whatever you want to go to and look up ectogenesis, ectogenesis, ectogenesis. Stage one in ectogenesis, an egg created from stem cells is fertilized in the lab, in a laboratory. The embryo, which developed from the fertilized egg. Then the egg is implanted into an artificial womb, which replicates the environment of the mother's uterus. The baby is in synthetic amniotic fluid, which is then controlled by an artificial placenta. The artificial womb provides the nutrients for the baby to grow and also removes the waste products produced by the baby. The fully developed baby is then delivered directly from the artificial womb. The babies could also be genetically engineered to acquire different desirable traits, such as intelligence, eye and hair color, and resistance to disease. Once created, the device will raise serious social and ethical concerns. But it is real. Now, I understood that and went to a presentation on that well over 20 years ago. And it's real. It's a definite possibility. So the need for women, and of course, you know, the Europeans' hatred of women goes back to their evolutionary development. I don't want to get off into that because I'm going to finish this up about the European Gentile and the European Jew. Homosexuality becomes the psychopath's answer to God's control over his need for women. He hates and has no desire for them, but women were always necessary for birthing children. Through homosexuality, women no longer require sex aggression. And since the violation of sexually imposing oneself on another male generally requires more aggression than raping a woman, homosexuality fills the number of emotional needs for the psychopathic personality. Female homosexuality or lesbianism is a response to abuse, whether physical, sexual, psychological, or emotional. This perverse pathology creates a devaluation and hatred for men that becomes part of the psychopathic construct attributed to women. Homosexuality, male or female, injects a person deep into the Rubik's of psychopathology. Through it gets deeper whenever we encounter someone involved in this perversion. We are looking at someone involved in psychopathic behavior. Stage four, pedophilia. A sexual perversion in which an adult or older adolescent sexually molests children. It is usually a chronic, pernicious, and clandestine practice where the molester can assault thousands of children during their lifetime. Studies in U.S. find that pedophiles molest on an average of 60 children before their first time being caught or convicted. Once the psychopathic mind reaches homosexuality, the person is in a state where sex and aggression become inextinguishable. The mind seeks to create the sexual experience, allowing the highest levels of violation and aggression. Pedophilia is this act. The adult is violating the innocence of a child in the most damaging way possible, sexually. Plato, in the Symposium, what's this word again? Pederasty is an adult man sexually violating an adolescent boy. Alone is capable of satisfying a man's highest and noblest aspirations, and the love between men and women, when spoken of at all, is altogether inferior. It is a purely physical impulse whose sole objective is the procreation of life. Pederasty was the zenith of sexuality and spirituality for the Greeks, according to Plato. It was every man's greatest desire. If we accept homosexuality as part of the fundamental behavior construct of the psychopathic personality, and pedophilia as an extension of such, Plato makes perfect sense. The highest point at which the merger of sex and aggression peak is when a man violates the sanctity of another male and violates the innocence of a child at the same time. In this way, the merger of homosexuality and pedophilia, called pederasty, has a special place in the heart and mind of the psychopath. It often becomes a thrill that neither the threat of incarceration nor death can prevent them from pursuing. At this point, the question of whether the author is suggesting the Greeks were psychopaths is nagging. The author is not making that claim, but I am saying definitively that they were psychopathic aspects to both the Greeks and the Roman culture. The question of how this development, or who introduced it, is not requiring a deeper historical drive. Suffice to say that the European Jew demonstrates through their Babylonian Talmud and cultural practices, such as bar mitzvahs and so forth, that the psychopathic behaviors and accepted practices in their religion and in their culture have been for millennium. You know, very, very quickly before I go to the fifth stage, that's why we don't use the word mentor. Once again, very succinctly, in the Odyssey, in the Iliad by Homer, Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, Ulysses gave his son Telemachus over to mentor to watch over him while he went to fight the wars, the Spartan wars. Mentor sexually abused his son. That's why we should never use the word mentor. We should. I don't give a damn what crackers do, but we shouldn't. And we should make it plain to one another why we shouldn't do it. The word is jegna. Jegna. It's the Ethiopian word. So no, you're not a mentor. You're a jegna. And a group of us are jegnox. The plural jegnox. Mentor. Stage five. Bestiality. A sexual perversion where people engage in sexual acts with animals. Bestiality is the phrase of the psychopathology when the hunger for violation and aggression supersedes the desire for sexual gratification in the mind of a psychopath, where sexual interaction among people is a foundational work and mark of civilization. Sexual interaction between people and animals has no place outside the personality of psychopathology. The psychopath is simply looking for a living creature that can violate, and sex is their weapon of choice with animals. Animals cannot report nor kill them. Therefore, they can violate animals with impunity for their pleasure. Once a person reaches this stage of psychopathology, it is safe to assume they will do anything that supersedes it. So, if we discover someone involved in bestiality, we should automatically assume they have or would have participated in homophilia, pedophilia, and rape. By definition, at this level, it's safe to assume that the person has had bad relationships with their mother and or disdain for women, which is misogyny. Stage 6, pseudomasochism, a sexual perversion where people derive pleasure, often sexual, from inflicting or submitting to physical or emotional abuse. Pseudomasochism, sadists derive pleasure from inflicting pain on others. A sadist derives pleasure of inflicting pain on others. A masochist derives pleasure from having pain inflicted on them. Pseudomasochism enjoys inflicting and receiving pain, often through bizarre sexual practices. In this phase, sexual gratification becomes incidental to the desire of aggression and violation in the mind of the psychopath. These freakish, particular, and grotesque practices also involve behaviors that normal people would not classify as sexual. The acts can include whipping, choking, stabbing, biting, rape, torture, or even murder. Murder may seem extreme when discussing pseudomasochism, but there is a particular genre of pornography called snuff. There's a movie about that, 8mm, with Nicolas Cage, where the cats were doing snuff films, where they would have sex with someone and kill them within the movie on film. Snuff is actually a very profitable genre of pornography. It is also crystallizing example to recognize the psychopathic nature of pseudomasochism. Stage 7. Cannibalism. Sexual perversion where people assume the flesh and organs of other people. Cannibalism can be a difficult topic to discuss. For most, it is too far removed from our consciousness to seem irrelevant. Jeffrey Dahmer and Hannibal Lecter from The Silence of the Lambs are the closest references we share relative to cannibals. Dahmer was a homophilia, who routinely drugged and raped American African men at gay clubs. He also drugged, kidnapped, raped, and murdered American African and Laotian males, chopped up their bodies, cut up the parts of their brains, stored body parts in freezers, and later ate the flesh, body, and parts of those adolescent men. Those adolescents and men. Dahmer's story checks off most of the boxes of psychopathology, from misogyny through cannibalism. It is unanimously agreed upon that he was a psychopath. We know him for being a cannibal. However, until now, we've never connected his different perversions and criminal acts as being part of a measurable and predictable behavior system of pathology. Now the behavior of psychopath is predictable. Before I go to stage 8, let me interject this also. In Wisconsin, Jeffrey Dahmer, that was ironic. They caught Jeffrey Dahmer just as I was leaving to visit a friend in San Jose. And I got back and got more into the what was happening with that. And Jeffrey Dahmer situation. And then, of course, when the story came out, there's been a number of films on it. You know what he did, and the brother, there's a brother who got away, is the one. But of course, there was a Laotian young man who was wandering the streets, and these cops found him. He had blood from his anus, he was halfly dressed, and he was returned. He was returned to Jeffrey Dahmer. He had got away. He was returned to him. Because this was a lover's quarrel, as they kind of put it. And of course, then he was killed and eaten. Yeah. Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer. And so, yeah, let me continue on here. Stage 8, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. White supremacy. A system of collective cannibalism where Caucasian people work in conjunction with European Jews to conquer, exploit, and annihilate African people and other non-Caucasian people, cultures, nations, and identities. That's what this is about. Only the properly educated American African victim of racism can truly appreciate this phrase. Africans in America have spent 400 years contending with the constant threat of annihilation. We don't generally discuss it because we feel no one in America cares, and they don't. But genocide is a subconscious threat ever looming in the back of our minds. We've experienced being stripped. Oh, let me go back, family. This is what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. America, Milwaukee, Wisconsin does not have the death penalty. But Jeffrey Dahmer was being held at this one correctional institution. There was a man named Jesse Anderson. Jesse Anderson wanted to kill his wife who was pregnant. Wanted to get rid of him. He wanted to kill her. And she was pregnant and collect the money and so forth. So his plot was, obviously, is just like that comedic routine, 1-800 blame a nigga, you know. I got a problem. Go get blame a nigga, you know, because we are the scourge within the society. So he went and found, supposedly, he gave a hat. A hat to this one brother, got it from him. It's everything to set this up so it looks like somebody other than him, particularly us, had killed his wife. He did it and blamed us. And for 2 days, they were rounding us up. Got 2 people to testify that they did it. That's right. They got 2 people to testify that they did it. But later, the story didn't fit. And Jesse Anderson was found out. He was prosecuted, and he was sent to prison. He was ironically in the same prison as Jeffrey Dahmer. Because Wisconsin doesn't have the death penalty. There was a brother. Since Dahmer was eating brothers and Jesse Anderson was blaming stuff on brothers, there was a brother there named Christopher Scarver who was in for murder. They turned Christopher Scarver loose. Down one side of the hall was Jeffrey Dahmer. He took a heavy mop handle or some kind of object and went down there and beat the shit out of him, killed him. The guards turned away, turned a deaf ear, walked down to the other end of the hall where Jesse Anderson was and beat the shit out of him and killed him. No, they don't have the death penalty, but they exercised it at that moment because these cats, Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer, were probably going to be in prison more than likely for the rest of their lives. No, we're going to kill these cats. So the state of Wisconsin, by proxy, exercised the death penalty. Man, oh man. Up, it's 12. Let me, before I get to, where am I? Let me go back to stage 8. So we only got 9. So we got 2 stages to go. And then we'll open up the line for questions and so forth and comments and everything like that. So I want to play the little break here. You know, it's always time to take a little bit of a break. I know you agree.
Yeah, so we're going to take a little break here. And it's Friday. You know, as I said to you many times, there's Friday. Friday music is always jumping, gets you in the mood. It's, you know, living for the weekend. Yeah, living for the weekend. Okay. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Car wash, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh, oh. Car wash, never seen that.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Rolls Royce from the movie Car Wash, one of my favorites. Yeah, Rolls Royce. You know, and they pumped up Richard Pryor, because Richard Pryor was really hot at the time, but his part was so minimal. Daddy Rich. In fact, George Carlin had a bigger part. It is funny too, but it's one of my favorites, man. Outstanding, some great intro. Yeah, yeah. So, getting back to what we're talking about, the psychology of the European Jew and the nine stages that he goes through and other Europeans go through of psychopathology. The psychopath. Yeah. Please get Dr. Bobby Wright's book, Psychopathic Racial Personality. Stage 8. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Let me explain very quickly why I make that phrase. They're Europeans, and they're the ones who come up with this thing about the division of the Caucasus Mountains and how special they are. European Caucasian extremism, because they are not superior, but they show nail is extreme. Thank you, Brother Paul, for giving me that particular piece. Extreme. Racism, because they created this idea of race. They did. Look up Johann Blumenbach and Carol Linnaeus and the stratification of humanity, giving themselves the top position with everyone else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And you see that manifest, and you see that happening today in the world. Those who are most melanated, those who are darkest, just like in India, the untouchables are shunned the most. And privilege, they have privilege. They're the smallest group of people on the planet. And even European Jews are smaller. But yet they are very privileged. A system of collective cannibalism where Caucasian people work in conjunction with European Jews to conquer, exploit, annihilate African people and other non-Caucasian people, cultures, nations, and identities. Only properly educated American African victims of racism can truly appreciate this phrase. American Africans have spent 400 years contending with the constant threat of annihilation. We don't generally discuss it because we feel no one in America cares, and damn right, no one in the world cares about us. Just as Dr. Clark said early in this writing, in this book I'm reading to you, we have no friends. We don't generally discuss because we feel no one in America cares. But genocide is a subconscious threat ever looming in the back of our minds. We've experienced being stripped from land, family, freedom, culture, happiness, religion, spirituality, names, language, identity, and life in cycles multiple times over the course of 400 years. We've experienced active terrorism, including industrialized rape, where African women were used to produce babies for Caucasians and Jewish Caucasians, enslavers, economic sabotage, community destruction, image exploitation, chemical and biological warfare, the Tuskegee experiments, COVID-19, cocaine, crack, substance abuse, and outright genocidal programs like Hurricane Katrina, where they bombed the levees As a result of 400 years under conditions, we are always subconsciously wondering when the next attack will come. In an easy way for everyone to understand, the system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, is to examine the history of the establishment of America. Europeans traveled here, learned how to survive from the inhabitants, and produced a systematically and then proceeded to systematically eradicate 500 nations of indigenous people, of native people, through their extermination program was waged by Anglo-Saxons, by Caucasian, European Gentiles, and European Jews. European Jews supplied the blankets with smallpox that wiped out Pontiac's alliance and paved the way for the full-scale genocide of indigenous people here in North America. This was a clear partnership between European Gentiles and European Jews. Jews provided the finance and resources while European whites European provided the muscle. The African, because I don't like to use the word transatlantic slave trade, you know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't no damn trade. Share similar stories. European Jews financed, organized, and profited off African enslavement while Caucasians, the Gentiles, European Gentiles, did much of the kidnapping, raping, and transporting and torturing. This was a partnership where whiteness was used as a battering ram to decimate the African world community while enriching the European Jews. This system eats cultures. Since 1492, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has ruled the planet. For anyone who is not, we saw no difference between European Gentiles and European Jews during this period. To us, they're all just white people. True. This combination of European Gentiles and European Jews has wreaked havoc throughout the world. The system has literally cannibalized cultural internationally, even eliminating entire ethnic groups. It is very important we remember the definition. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a system of collective cannibalism where Europeans, people, work in conjunction with European Jews to eat, conquer, exploit, and annihilate Africans and non-African people, culturally, nations, and identities. We will revisit this phrase of psychopathology to discuss its transition in a later chapter, which, of course, we may not do. But stage nine, genocide. The systematic and widespread extermination or attempted extermination of a national, religious, ethnic, or cultural group. Our definition of genocide is not identical to the officially recognized legal definition. Okay. But this is the final stage of psychopathology. The psychopath is a genocidal creature in mind, spirit, and action. He or she is filled with a lust for perversion, destruction, deadly behavior. The pathology ends with a deep desire to bring an end to the life as we know it on this planet. If you listen to the program on Wednesday, you will know what Brother Ayo was talking about. Quick synopsis here of the nine areas. Misogyny leads to expression a hatred for women. Rape fulfills this need. Homosexuality affords the option to participate in sex aggression without women. Pedophilia allows for the aggression, violation, and innocence and feeds the desire for control. Bestiality eliminates the need for social skills. The culprit can simply pick an animal, a creature that cannot reason and commit any acts of debauchery they can conceive without communication. When the desire for inflicting pain supersedes the desire for sexual pleasure, pseudomasochism flourishes. The ultimate inflicting of pain is to kill and consume the body of the victim, cannibalism. Once a group of psychopaths organized to spread their consumption into civilization, racism, white supremacy was born. After exploiting the prey to its satisfaction, the psychopath moves to expiate the target, genocide. The Psychopathic, The Psychology of the Jew. That's book number two, The Jews Are the Problem. Brother Ayub Kamathi, The Irritated Genie. Open up the phone lines. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, that's right. Good morning. I'm sorry. good morning to you too, brother.
I'm sitting here listening to you, talk about this subject, man. You ain't holding back on nothing, brother.
No.
I mean, if you can't stomach this demonic debauchery,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it is
demonic, and it definitely is debauchery.
Yeah.
It is sickening.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
It's sadistic.
It's very.
And we're listening. I'm listening to you say these things, and I don't have a comeback. I can't. You know, even if in your mind you want to defend your oppressor, there's nothing you can say because the history of the people that we live amongst is there. It's recorded, and somewhat it's celebrated by them. They have a holiday called Thanksgiving, where they sit down and they eat. And when I was growing up, they drew pictures of big buckles on their shoes, and they had these funny-looking hats, and they were sitting there with the Native American. They were all eating, and the Native American was happy, and they were glad that they were here. And then I look at what's happening now. They eat by themselves. The Native American is not at the table eating with them anymore. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they killed all of them.
That's right.
They got rid of them. And you know, Bob Oshie, when you start to delve into critical thinking, like they were talking about critical race theory, well, that's basically critical thinking. When you start to think critically, you start to get to the truth. You start to pull back the layers of all the BS surrounded by the flying a kite in a storm and electricity hits and chopping down a cherry tree and all these the Santa Claus. You start getting into facts, into things that are reality and not the reality that's given to you, but the true reality. And you start to look at things as right and wrong, but when there is no right and wrong in the European's mind, because the European can't have a right and a wrong, or they'll never ever be in charge of everything. And I see that. But you know, Baba Oshie, to me, I heard a guy speak the other day, and he was talking about how he said something about P. Diddy, and he made so much sense.
Okay.
In the fact that P. Diddy did all these things, but then when I turned this television on, I see a woman and she got her breast out, and not out all the way, but you know, suggestive, and her butt's out.
Exactly.
And she got skin. She's showing skin. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it and I'm getting a little aroused. I'm a grown ass man. I got, you know, so I feel it. And then I say, well, if I was rich like P. Diddy, how far could I take that?
That's right.
I could take it all the way.
That's right.
So P. Diddy's doing something that I'm sitting here thinking about, man, you know, if I had all these women and I had these airplanes and I had these cars. So in actuality, the European is actually teaching you to be what P. Diddy supposedly did.
Right.
They're not upset that he did it. I think they're more upset that he got caught.
Yeah.
Because in the Europeans, and did he really get caught? Because in the Europeans' mind, this is acceptable behavior that you, I mean, I heard somebody say before, when a black man has money, he want all the women. And when a black woman has money, she don't need no man. These are the things you're teaching American Africans so that they can, and to push them away from, you don't need to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing that the European wants to destroy is the black family. And it by any means necessary. So you don't get married, or marry a man. That way you can't reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
Or a woman get with a woman. So my point is, and this is connected to what you're talking about, because these things that you're talking about, the cannibalism, the violence, the murder, all these things are not processed in your mind in a way you think you can process them. In other words, when you, for me, I know when I do something bad, I feel bad.
Sure.
But if I did something like you're talking about, it would literally drive me out of my mind. I would become a psychopath. I would not know how to literally process that. It's a movie I just watched a couple months ago, and it was about these very rich white people, and they were, this guy was a chef, and he hung himself in the beginning of the movie. Never understood why he hung himself in the beginning of the movie. And another guy took over his identity because he didn't want nobody to think he killed him. He's a chef too. It was his buddy, and they were eating people. They were paying millions of dollars to have him cook these people up, like meat, and they would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans, and they were flying on jets, and you're like, this
right
really
to come
accurate.
There to come there to have that meal of eating flesh,
for millions of dollars. And I said, come on, ain't nobody doing this, and it wasn't entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was demonic, you know. And I'm watching, just like even listening to you speak about Arugu. And the history, it does something to me psychologically. It makes me think. And then when I go out, because I go to the gym quite a bit, and I look at these people, and I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, are you the person that Baba Oshie was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the white person? Are you, or, you know, because, quick, you know, we quit the qualify Caucasians. You know, it ain't all white people. You know, it's just some of them that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking to Umar Johnson, because he'll tell you they born racist.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, it ain't all of them, you know. And then I started even saying myself, well, it's not all white people. It's the system. Mm-hmm. And what I'm basically saying to is, you know, I really love white people. It's just the ones that don't like me. and now I'm starting to sound like I'm asking for something. Please like me. Please love me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going nowhere. I can't go to Africa because, you know, they over there with a bone in their nose, and you know that they got raggedy clothes, they ain't got no houses. And see, I'm talking like that, and I'm saying that because this is how your mind starts to work when white people, when you start to, even Baba Oshie, real quick, and I'm gonna let someone else get on. Even when you start to move up on your employment, because we're taught to get a job, we're not taught to have a business. We're taught to get a job. You know, when you see that little black boy that gets that contract from the NFL,
mm-hmm.
first thing he says, I'm going to buy my mama a house. Well, why aren't you buying your mother a business? Why don't you go on the stock market and just take and buy some businesses like white folks do? And now you somewhat of a boss.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about a car wash or cell phone bill. The point I'm trying to make is that we have been conditioned. And it's not, it appears to be by each other. But when you ask your mother who taught you, who gave you that Bible, they'll say her mother gave her the Bible. Who gave her the Bible? Her mother. And if you get far enough back, you'll get to the slave owner. But we're talking about generations, Baba Oshie.
Sure.
We've been in this situation for generations. It's not going to end tomorrow. It's not going to end overnight. But the fight has to go on. And I always will encourage American Africans to never, ever stop fighting. The
That's
fight
right.
begins with you, it ends with you, and the fight is in your mind. The fight, once you, I'm disconnected from Irugu. Don't get me wrong. You can see me, you may ride past and see me sitting at a table, eating, having a meal mm-hmm. with Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, I know who I'm sitting with.
That's right.
I know.
I
know if it all goes down,
that's
I
right.
know who's going to be the first one.
That's right. Your ass.
They're going to put, put Urban out front. He's a big guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's what they said. You know, he's not a protecting friend. He could be a friend, but he's not a protecting friend. That's right. It should jump off. It could be your ass.
Yeah. It will be. That could be. Mm-hmm. Will be.
Yeah.
Because the Rugu is a selfish, Rugu is a I call him an inward person. All he cares about is himself. All that Rugu cares about is what he has. And you know, he can tell you you're going to get yours on the other side, my brother. I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, won't you come on to the other side with me and get it? Mm-hmm. Why are you getting yours now? Why do I have to suffer to make you feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Because, Baba Oshie, things are changing, man. I listened to a cat yesterday talk about the United States is lining themselves up with Israel when they should be lining themselves up with Russia. Because Russia and China are getting together. Mm-hmm. We still sitting here being pimped by this country, Israel, because our government is flooded with these so-called Jews. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Jewish people, and we're flooded with them. And so what's happening?
Yeah, is all throughout the government, all throughout finance, all throughout the movie industry. I could go on. European Jews are just they're everywhere.
They're arrogant. Baba Oshi, you would think that the Americans, with these Jews in America and these Arugu, you would think that they would hide what they're doing. Uh-uh. They are killing, and they're putting it on TV. Like, I want to see you bomb a hospital. That's not entertainment to me. That's sick. You're sick, and you don't see anything wrong with that. It's in the name of democracy. You have lost your mind to support something. Those bombs say made in the USA. Those bombs don't say made in China. You are bombing people and killing people, and you're acting like you're doing it in the name of survival. Nobody is coming over here to get you. I can go right now. I don't have a pistol in my pocket. I can go to the store, come back, no problem.
Right.
Over there, they in dirt roads, and they're bombing these people. We in this country are saying we're saying something, but you know, Baba Oshi, there's a sacrifice when you get a consciousness. You make a sacrifice in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And some things that you used to do, you can't do. And then one thing I think of is if you want to be part of the crew and part of the group and everybody love you, you can't talk about how African you are. Don't say Africa at all. Because Africa is a shithole country,
mm-hmm.
you know. But everybody wants to get there. If they're so poor, why do you want to get there?
Yeah.
If you're so poor, why you keep trying to colonize these people? We have to recolonize Africa. Are you crazy?
We never did anything. Why is all that shit in museums around the world? The British Museum, the Louvre Museum, you know.
we got to go to pay to see the things you stole.
That's
from us. You got to pay to see it.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense.
Or even the arrogance of it. No, I'll loan it to you.
You're going to loan
British,
it to
the British Museum told, I think it was Nigeria or King. No, I'll loan it to you. It'd be on loan so I can get it back. You stole it. You stole it. You know?
If they could get the pyramids and put them in the museum, they would have took them with them, but they were too big to take with them. They didn't know how to take them.
Yeah.
And so they started shooting off the noses.
Yep.
You know, this is Arugu. But see, Baba Oshi, Arugu understands psychology to a point, but they understand how this bothers you. That bothers me. That happened thousands of years ago, I'm assuming. But that bothers me to this day, that you would shoot the nose off of something that someone... an African built for legacy. Because all Rugal wants is legacy. If you go to D.C., all you're going to see is pictures of white men on the wall, include Obama. And what's happening now, Baba, is when they put this woman in, it's going to make white folks shame a little less. In other words, the white people are ashamed of their ancestors.
And
they have to be. You can't celebrate someone who was just demonic and sadistic and just killing, and they are ashamed. And their shame is something they get mad about. Mm-hmm. Well, if we supposed to have this land. Who told you supposed to come over here and take something from somebody? And now you're destroying it, and you're telling me that you're not. You know, and then you get people who go along with that foolishness. So Baba Oshi, you make me think of so many things when you speak on this show. I could go on and on because it's not something that they're hiding. Their arrogance precedes them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very arrogant, but they're quick to put a black man in a cell and prop him up on TV like he's the worst person in the world. When we know that's not true, but who's gonna sit there and talk about themselves in a negative light? You know, that they're taught not to be honest. They're taught not to be friendly. They're taught to just take, and that's all that the Rugu does. And that's why the Rugu's in the position that he's in today, because he's a taker, not a giver.
That's right.
Doesn't want to live with you, doesn't want to be your friend. Only time he talks to you is when he needs something from you. You know, so it's interesting. Bob Oshie, get somebody else.
All right,
I want to
okay.
hear what the brothers have to say. You know I'm listening, man. I've been holding on all night waiting for Cheryl to come on. I'm just joking.
Okay. All right, Brother Irv.
All right, brother.
Peace. Okay. Oh, Brother Irv, yeah. Yeah, no, their whole agenda is extermination. That's the whole agenda, to exterminate. Give us a call. You can hit star twice. Brother, how you doing, my man? Brother Ted Lusk, Birmingham, Alabama. How you doing, brother? Brother Ted? Okay, see, he was on. He had to jump. You know, he has to do that sometimes, you know. And somebody got to do some work around here.
Hello?
Hey, brother. How you doing? How you doing, Ted? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I was okay. on mute. I didn't realize that.
Okay.
But look, you know, Brother Irv's conversation definitely spurred some things that I'd like to talk about. And one of the effects of what Urugu has done, we have now adopted that. Okay, so this is the time that we need to really turn the mirrors upon ourselves. Okay. And forget just for a tad bit for a moment of what it is that they done did, excuse the vernacular,
okay.
and look at what we are doing to ourselves.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and so we're contributing some of the craziness that we've adopted, and so let's let P. Diddy be the poster child for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the kinds of things that we're taking on, why are we doing this?
Right.
What is driving us to do this? And look, I understand the conditioning. I understand the colonization. I understand all the things that have been done to us, I think, to a basic degree. But at a certain point in time, one must have to stop
right.
and look at themselves
mm-hmm.
to see the kind of damage that they're causing. And so, truly, you know, yes, they're doing what they're doing, but at a certain point in time, we have to look at ourselves. That's why when you were mentioning about the psychology, the psychopathology, I often kind of wonder, are there any black psychologists that's out there, maybe in your area, maybe in the New York area, maybe on the West Coast, that can actually come to talk and to shed light on some of their thing? But you know what's the funny part about it all? They've been taught underneath
that's right.
Google's ways anyway.
Exactly. Even that's where they got their degrees from.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of damned if you do and damned if you
well,
don't. I just kind of wonder with regards to our humanity,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the firm foundation on it all, that we have to be able to return to our humanity, which will in turn turn us back to our spirituality,
I agree.
And so thank you for picking my call. We could go all day, but I want to listen to what other people have to say about this as well. So thank you so very much.
All right, Brother Ted. Have a good weekend, my brother. Peace to you.
You too.
Hit star twice, family. A great number of you in the queue. So hit star twice, just like what Brother Ted did, and you can get in and, on this conversation. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshi, what's happening?
Hey, Jay.
Listen, let me ask you this question, because I need some sort of clarity on this whole P. Diddy thing. Hasn't everything he done what Hugh Hefner used to do on a continuous and regular basis?
Probably so. I mean, you know, have sex parties, big parties, you know, drinking going on. Maybe over in this room they doing some coke. Maybe in this room they smoking some weed, or in this room they drinking, and over here they got an orgy going on, you know.
Yeah, because wasn't that what Bill Cosby got caught up in, his drugging the women
right.
At the mansion and all of that? Mm-hmm. So whereby he's accused of having these sexual orgies, are they saying that it's so bad because it wasn't totally consensual? That's what it seems to me, that these people were being coerced into having these sex parties, and it was being filmed and all of that. It's just, to me, perverse and sick. But it's not surprising because, hey, listen, I don't pick people up after parties and things of that nature. I done picked celebrities up when I was chauffeuring that were cheating on their wives and all of this stuff. I mean, it's common practice within that industry. I mean, to me, it's crazy because there's a whole lot of people.
But there's a lot of perversion.
Could be caught up in this.
Right, there's a lot of perversion, and the bottom line is that he. Bottom line is that they wanted to get his ass. Let's be real.
Basically,
yeah, they wanted to get him.
That's what it boils down to.
And he gave them all the rope that they needed.
Because of his blatant arrogance and nastiness. And he's a real nasty cat, man. Don't get it twisted. He's a manipulative, nasty egomaniac, and you know, to be honest with you, most people that have dealt with him would want to smack him in his face and put their foot up his behind, and I'm telling you that from personal interaction with him. It's just he's bigger than, in a sense, he's bigger than what one would imagine, and he has no respect for no one based on what his perceived position is. And you got a lot of people like that, man. And it's unfortunate because you have these white people who give them this sense of entitlement, and they use that sense of entitlement to hurt their own people, to take advantage of their own people, to manipulate their own people. And when you think about it and you put it into its context, for what? What is really gain? You know, what is gain is you may eat a $30 steak instead of a $15 steak. You're just eating a little something higher quality than the next person. You're wearing clothes, maybe a higher quality of the next person. You're able to spend money on things that the next person can't. But the reality is you're morally correct.
Corrupt. You are morally corrupt because you
have no spirituality. Mm-hmm. You have no culture. You have no nothing, man. You're just basically a empty soul, man. You are imperfect human being.
You are part of the line of the people who call themselves and perceive themselves as being privileged. You know.
Yeah, what is privilege?
Yeah.
Privilege doesn't make you a higher quality human being. Look at your boy Trump. He is absolutely, if we're going to call it as we see it, he's really white trash.
Yeah.
He's not no intellectual. He's not culturally aware. He's not astute. He's not intelligent.
But he's arrogant.
He's just a master at conning the masters to follow an imperfect human being. I mean, you know, it amazes me, man. And I'm at the point now when it comes to our people, and I'm real serious about that. I think I'm getting towards the position, let this guy get back in office so that maybe we as a people can wake up. Because let me tell you something, as far as I'm concerned, if Harris get in the office, it's going to be Obama 2.0. We're not going to make no demands. We're not going to move forward as a people. We're not going to build institutions.
That's
or
true.
Anything.
All of that's true.
We're just going to be happy.
Right. All of that's true. You're right, because that's what we were during Obama. We were just enamored and happy with the idea. And now the idea of an American African female. Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, brother.
All right, my brother.
You have a good one, Jay. Thank you, man. Have a good weekend.
All right.
All right. Brother Irv.
Baba Oshie, when Jay speaks, he makes me think of things. But I just want to say really quickly,
in the P. Diddy situation, the things that most people are more attracted to, they want to see what celebrities were there with him. That's all they want.
That's
to
true.
See. And it's not, that's not go. P. Diddy didn't do this by himself.
Right.
I mean, the white people who provided the hotels, the airplanes, the bank presidents, all those people need to be in court with him. But they're going after one person as if he's the mastermind of all these things. You just want to, if he recorded it and sold the DVD, these people here would buy it.
Right. Well, let's just say this. He's going to take the fall on this. I don't know if he wants to say, if I'm got to fall, just like Nino Brown, you know, in New Jack City. If I got to fall, all y'all going down with me.
All y'all going to fall.
That's
but
right.
But then the thing is, Bob Oshie, the thing that white folks do to black people, American Africans, is they use the child thing. Well, he had some underage kids. Well, tell me this, Bob Oshie. If you're 17 on Tuesday and you turn 18 on Wednesday, you have a girlfriend who's 16. It was fine having sex with her yesterday, but on Wednesday you 18.
Yeah.
Same girl. So now the law says it's statutory rape.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they're talking about P. Diddy was having sex with children. See, and that is a nerve, and it's a nerve with me because I'm a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a child, was protected by my father.
It falls in line with what we just talked about, with what Brother Ayu Kamathi presented with the psychology of the European Jew. It falls in line with that. This is pedophilia. But it falls in line with misogyny, homosexuality, all of that falls in line with it.
They're homophiles. They're homophiles. And the irritated genie is right on point with what he's saying. Mm-hmm. But you don't see American Africans lining up behind him in public. Because I've been to his speeches, and it's crowded. Oh, people are listening. But see, you got too much to lose to go against this Jew. The Jew was all powerful.
Oh, he's He's pervasive, and you know, if one wants to use that term, omnipresence and omnipotent, he's everywhere. He's in everything, man. You know, I never forget going to Benjamin's, a Jewish delicatessen on the east side of Milwaukee. Me and my friend Muhammad, and they used to have a mural on the wall of the delicatessen, and basically the mirror speaks to we're in everything. Our hand is in everything. That mural's been gone, but that was deep. So let me catch a few other callers. Stay with us, okay? Brother Paul, haven't heard from you in a while. How you been, man?
Fantastic, Baba Ochi, absolutely on top of the world. Giving thanks for life always.
Always.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Baba Ochi, I think I haven't managed. I have to be honest, I haven't managed to verify and actually conclude that the letter J did not exist before the 1600s, but I've heard it many times.
And, right.
You know, I have attempted to look at, and what I have to do is go and look up the English alphabet and just discover what words are about. I did at one stage in this journey start to involve myself in it, but it's such a study, I kind of backed off. But, you know, my thinking is this. This is my thinking on the subject you raised. I think we give people too much power. And one of the reasons why I couldn't deal with the word supremacy. And by the way, I actually had a conversation with Neely Fuller on this subject. I had an actual conversation with him on why I don't want to use the word supremacy. And he said to me, well, you know what? He uses the word supremacy because it's what appeals to him. It makes him recognize what he's dealing with based on his understanding of what he calls white supremacy. And I said, okay. But he also said that it's all right for the individual to use a word which suits them. He said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he said to me. Okay, he said that if you have a word which you feel satisfied. So in my mind, I was thinking, well, supremacy to me is in reference to something that you can't beat, you can't control.
That's
you
right.
can't.
Because I'm superior. I'm a high above you. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't touch this.
And I'm sorry. from the day that I came out of my mum's womb to this point in time, I don't accept any, there is such a man like that over me.
Right.
And I will never accept in this lifetime, in the next lifetime, nobody on this planet can convince me of that. Because to me, that's just some sort of petulant, right, infantile.
Well, let me say this. That's why I appreciate you when you said, hey, he ain't supreme. He is extreme. So I don't use supremacy either. I use European Caucasian extremist racism because they created the idea of race. Johann Blumenbach and Carolina, they created the stratification, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And that is recognized to this very day globally, because those who are most melanated, who are most dark-skinned, are the ones who are discriminated against, who are vilified, who are denigrated and degraded the most. See? So I use that term, Caucasian extremism, as opposed to racism. And, of course, they're privileged. They set themselves up on privilege.
Because they use, you know, one of their most powerful weapons is reverse psychology, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll say to you, they talk about Muslims being extreme, right? But yet, how many of you speak, Muslims practice Islam, which, as I understand it, the original tongue was in Arabic, right? But how many of us speak Arabic? You know what I mean? Right? But we're all speaking English. Now, we don't think in our heads that that's extreme. We don't, you see, we haven't even, most of us haven't even fathomed the mere fact that you speak English, right? That is an extreme thing, because that is not your language.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And then you're looking all around the place and saying, oh, it's this is the problem, and not even recognize that the capturer is getting you to even think like him through his language. You don't even work that out. You understand? And to be honest with you, even your parents indoctrinated that into you, because they knew no better themselves. They did not know no better. Okay? That's the reality. That's the bitter pill we don't want to swallow. That's why we're pointing fingers over here. We're pointing fingers over there. We're saying it's this one. We're saying it's that. It's rap music. It's hip-hop and all this crap. When the reality of it is you don't even speak your own language, but you're not even looked at that. So the point I'm trying to make is we give these people too much power.
Mm-hmm.
They're deceivers. They're just the deceivers. They've not got this power. This power, which I hear people referring to, is illusionary. You give them the power. You give them the power because you allow it to happen. And why do you allow it to happen? One of it is cowardness. Great deal of you are cowards. You don't really want to stand up and deal with this enemy. Second, it's ideology. You've taken on the ideology of the oppressor, be it Islam or Christianity. These were oppressors' ideologies.
Yep.
And you're here today calling yourself by the oppressor's name. You've got Christian names, you've got Islamic names, Muslims, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling yourself by these names and pretending, just pretending, that doesn't have an effect. And you're still pointing fingers. Oh, it's Diddy. Oh, it's this one. No, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Who is it? Diddy speaking English, or is it you speak English? Have you been conquered in the mind, or is it him? That's what I say. I keep saying it. We don't want to take responsibility. And do you know what that means, Baba Olchi? It means the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't got the ability to respond because most of us don't really think that deeply. I have to be honest. I know people don't like this, but I don't care because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take responsibility.
We
want to point fingers at that. Diddy. What's Diddy got to do with anything? Listen, Diddy ain't got nothing to do with nothing. This practice, all the things you talk about, has been going on from this, even before this white man came into our lives. The Muslims, the Mohammedans, was making bloody eunuchs out of people.
Right.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, they turn off their nuts.
Private parts.
Sure, they turn off their nuts. Yeah.
Talking about diddy. This thing's been going on for how many thousands of years?
Yeah.
This is what I say. I wonder what's going on in our brains, you know? I swear to God. Thousands of years. Now, today we have the access to information. That really means we ain't got no excuses anymore. There's no excuses for ignorance. And ignorance means to ignore the facts. Most people, when they ignore the facts, the psychologists call it cognitive dissonance, meaning that it's absolutely clear what I'm telling you, but you've made the option to ignore it. Maybe because your ego is overriding you. Maybe because you're too dumb. I don't know. But the reality of it is, Diddy, Trump, and all these idiots aren't the problem. The problem is looking at you in the mirror. Now, I know you don't want to hear that, Baba Ochi, because you don't want to hear that we are sometimes our own worst enemy, but we are, because we are allowing these things to take place. We don't want to lose our job. We don't want to lose our house. The wind came and took away your house because nature has the power, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people do that. That's the reality of it. Nature has the power. You don't own nothing on this planet. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
It can destroy. Nature can destroy it in an instant. Earthquakes,
right.
Tornadoes,
man, this,
hurricanes,
this,
extreme
this
weather.
White man has sold you, this white man has sold you a total and absolute illusion, which you're all damn buying into. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it.
And see, that, and the problem, though, the problem, Brother Paul, is that it is his and it benefits him. And yet we chase after it. And so, to an extent, I would understand what you're saying about us saying we are our own worst enemy, but the reality is anybody who has altered your mind, anybody who has taken your name, your culture, your language, your traditions, and so forth, they are the problem. They are the root. But to get out of it, you are. To get out of it, the onus is on you. To
so
look
let's
in
get
the
out
mirror.
Of this now. Let's get out of this. Let's get out of this. Let's see how we're going to start. We're going to start by discipline. You know what that means? That means when people come to divert us, take us away, point fingers all over the place, tell them straight, hey, mate, look in the mirror.
Yep.
What are you going to do to overcome this devil? What are you going to do? Are you going to get up tomorrow and start dealing with this situation? You've gone in the army. You're trained as a soldier. Are you going to go out and show us how to deal with this enemy? Or are you going to just keep favoring us with a load of bullcrap about what you know and you think you know? This enemy needs to be overthrown.
Yeah.
Now, he's listening to me.
Yeah.
He's listening to every word I say, and I don't give a damn because I know it's the truth. No other thing is going to solve this situation unless
us,
as a backbone, up and decide you have to overthrow your enemy. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you, Paul. Have a blessed weekend. Have a good weekend. Have a safe weekend, my brother.
Yeah. I will, if it allows me to, but if it doesn't, I'll be back in the next life. Take care.
I say, man, you know it. Go down fighting, brother. Go down fighting. Yeah. Man. Yeah, we're at that time. I tell you, when it's 2 hours, it goes pretty fast. When I start, you know, it drags before I get there, but once 11 o'clock Eastern time hits, man, it's on. You know, showtime. And then it goes through. And then now it's that time. I hope everyone has a good weekend, a safe weekend. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Be safe out there. Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.